anybody anything to add?
I've got something that's a bit of an unanswered question. I was. I didn't buy it. I was at a Bible study in Sheffield yesterday, and a man there put forward a point that was bothering him, and it didn't get answered. And I must say, I was struggling with it as well. And first to Matthew 18, it's the parable of the slave who was owed money, if you remember it. And he begged to be relieved of this debt, and then he didn't. He went to somebody who owed him a few bob, and you probably know how that parable goes. But right at the end of chapter 18, it says, "And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him." But then verse 35 says, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Now, what this bloke was saying was that how does that square up to grace being what it is, unconditional favour and love and unearned favour? And we didn't get an answer to it because somebody else chipped in, and then the nature of the discussion went somewhere else. So I'm just wondering if anybody here might have a suggestion to that.
Well, how can you expect forgiveness unless you forgive?
Well, that what he's saying is that when by the grace of God, it's unconditional forgiveness, love and favour, isn't it? And that's what grace is. There's no conditions to it. The grace doesn't say, "I'll forgive you if you'll forgive him." You know, it's unconditional. And that's the point that this chap was saying, isn't it? And like I say, we didn't get an answer to it.
But Jesus says, doesn't he, when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, we refer to the Lord's Prayer because it does say that in the Lord's Prayer, so is there conflict with the Lord's Prayer and grace?
No, I think what we have is that we come to Christ through his grace and his mercy. Right, so we're introduced into Christ through his grace and his mercy, and it's not conditional of what we've done.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's conditional of what he, Jesus, has done. Mm-hmm. So it's then applied onto the side of God, Jesus, onto what he has done for you and for me. And so because of the grace and the mercy of God, we enter into the presence, and we enter into a new relationship. We become born again. And in that being born again, then there is a process that begins to work on us. And the process is that in our sinful nature, we're not going to forgive anybody.
No.
In our sinful nature, we'll put conditions on, "I'll forgive you if you do this," or etc., etc. But when we come in our forgiven nature, we then have to come and we, as Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive others as we have been forgiven, unconditionally. And so we forgive these people unconditionally. But you see, then we move. Does that help that bit? Is that okay so far?
I'm moving with it, but yeah.
Right. Okay. And so then we move into Matthew, where there's this story, as you say, that Jesus tells of this servant who he's been forgiven much, right? So that is a picture of every believer that comes to Christ. You have been forgiven much, and you're entering into the presence of God. And so then Jesus begins and says, look, but then this believer turns around and operates in the old nature, in the old realm of the law, and says, "I want my money off you." Yeah. And if you don't, guess where you're going? And he gets him thrown into prison. Mm. And so the Bible says, "Freely you have received, then freely give. Freely you have been forgiven, then freely forgive. Okay? And so this slave has been freely forgiven by his master. Massive debts. And he's like, wow, such a burden's lifted off him, which is you and I. And then all of a sudden he turns around to one of his fellows and starts to extract from them, operating in a worldly system.
Yeah.
And basically the Bible tells us, judge not lest you be judged.
Yeah.
Right? So do unto others as you have do unto you.
That's Jesus' way of the Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah. And Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And so what's happened with this fellow servant? This fellow servant has actually received, in one sense, the blessing and the forgiveness of his master, Jesus, we'll say, as for us as believers, and yet then turns round to somebody else and operates a different law. Operates in unforgiveness.
Yeah, it all fits onto the Lord's Prayer, this.
Mm.
But I'm coming back to grace being unconditional, not influenced by works. We get God's grace through nothing that we've done, whether we're evil or whether we're good. The grace and his love is still upon us.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, does that conflict with the Lord's Prayer?
Can I just come in here with
please,
in Matthew, the early part of Matthew, from chapters 5 through to 8, Jesus is setting out kingdom lifestyle, and he's speaking to kingdom people.
Mm.
And in there, he says, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses.
Mm.
So it is conditional on a child of the kingdom who has entered into forgiveness, received the fullness of that forgiveness, to act accordingly. Because Jesus said, he who loves much has been forgiven much. And as a child of the kingdom, I cannot not forgive somebody else because I know how much I've been forgiven.
Mm.
So I know my desire is to reflect that on everybody else.
Because if we don't do that, we ourselves do not operate in grace.
No.
We remove ourselves
from that grace.
We discount ourselves even from the grace of God.
So effectively we are saying that grace is not unconditional, aren't we?
No.
No, no.
It
grace is unconditional as far as God is concerned to you and me, but then we have to, as believers, act according to the principles of the love and the word of God. And so then what happens with us? We actually break with grace.
Yeah, we do. We go back to law.
We go back into law. If I'm turning around and saying, look, if you don't pay me this debt, then I've moved from living in the new covenant relationship. I've moved back into the old covenant relationship. Therefore, the moment I do that, I place myself under the judgment of the law. You see, and this, you see, the problem what's happening these days is so many Christians want grace. We had this when we were teenagers in church. They want grace, and they believe that the grace of God, but they didn't have to lay some law on us.
Yeah.
You can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do this, you can't do that. And some of it, to some degree, was meant right. Yeah, we used to get told, what will happen if Jesus comes and you're in the pictures? Now you laugh at it now, but they were deadly serious about it in them days, you see. And if you went to church as a woman and you didn't wear a hat, my God, you were about to be struck down by lightning of some sort.
And if you drank coffee.
Oh, and that were another one. If you drank coffee.
Oh, you're a sinner.
You spoke in church.
And a guitar. Well,
cool.
Devil's music.
Women playing guitars.
No, well, they did, yeah. But can you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, we have to, we receive grace, the grace and the mercy of God. That's how we get saved. We haven't done anything, we haven't earned it in any way. And then, if we then decide to our fellow brother and sister, well, I'm living in grace, but I'm going to apply the law to you. Yeah. Hang on. And so, I mean, this Jesus is pointing to a very extreme situation, isn't he? You know, in the sense that you've got this man who owes him next, just don't owe him nothing, and yet he's been forgiven a massive amount of debt. You know,
which we have,
and yet there's just this small thing. Somebody's offended you. I'll never speak to that person again. And listen to me, I've heard it said. I could take you to the people that have said it.
Yeah.
I could take you to the people, the same people, and they're still breaking bread around the Lord's table, and they're not going to talk to that person in church ever again. Oh, now where are we? Is grace in operation?
No.
They've moved
out.
They themselves have moved out of grace. Everybody else has stayed in grace.
Well, they're doing that on their level, aren't they?
And so when we move out, when we step out of that sort of covering, it's dangerous. And this is what then happens.
You put yourself
in jeopardy. You put yourself into the place of being judged. Because the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. So we can't just take grace on its own and say, well, we can... Some people try and take grace on its own set and do it. Excuse me. I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Grace.
You can do anything you want according to God's word.
Yeah.
According to the love of God that flows through you, you see. Because grace comes out of the love of God.
And that will make you only do
what you want you to do.
What God wants you to do.
Yeah, and maybe I was also seeing it in another way, maybe if that could just help a bit, like, you know, when we get saved and we accept the Lord and he saved us through his grace, and he's the one who's given us commandment that he's forgiven us unconditionally, and he has saved us, we are like him, because he says when he saves us, we'll be like him.
Yeah.
Mm. And if we are like him, you know, you can understand why he would forgive you.
Yeah, he can.
Because you've not forgiven somebody, because you're like him. So you bear all his ruling, his commandments, and he says he forgives you unconditionally, and he forgives you by his grace. And you cannot do it to somebody else. So at the end of it, actually, if you look at it in reality, you are sinning.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a sin. So you are a sinner. So how will he forgive you? You know, he has accepted you, and, you know, you are understanding him. You are like him.
You've got to
and
think
you are
his way.
Failing with one way. So he'll actually be a bit, you know.
I think I preached that exact message when I was last
year.
You
see, you've said it yourself.
I've said it myself. Yeah, and I do find myself, you know, this transition between old and new covenant. I do find myself explaining this to a lot of baby Christians, because they say, "What's all this forgiveness stuff?" They'll say, "When God's dishing out all these punishments and smiting this and smiting all this." And we have to explain that
again.
What the wages of sin is death. And death became the payment in the Old Testament before Jesus died on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
After Jesus died on the cross, he took our punishment. So then we get forgiven, whereas previously to that, they didn't get forgiven. And it takes a lot to sink into
some
people.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, not the young people, but the people who are baby Christians.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But the other thing as well is, you see, we can't just take one part of Scripture and hang it out somewhere as a doctrine on its own.
Yeah.
Everything is linked and strings together to make the pattern.
Yeah.
And so they're all connected with each other down the line. Yes, the mercy and the grace of God is, first of all, given freely. And when we receive it, then we should be, it is then, the word expects us that we become the image of Christ, and that what we do is what he would do. So would he go and grab another servant and say, you know, until you've paid me, I'm having you locked up? That is not the grace of God operating in my life, through my life, but it is the law of sin and death. Paul says, you know, oh, what a wretched man that I am. You know, he wrestles with the old nature, and he wrestles
with the new.
And he says, I struggle sometimes. And you know, this is Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, went round, you know, all of Asia, planting churches all over the place.
So he crossed the floor of righteousness, didn't he, from one extreme?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see, yeah, and you see, so here he is. He's wrestling with these things within him, in his own self, you know. And yet he turns round and says, "As Christ is an example to me, and I'm an example of Christ, you know, follow what I do, basically, you know, do as I do." And he's like, "Well, hang on, Paul, why aren't you there?" And what, you know, but what he was saying is, it's this thing of, you bring it all together and you take and you live in grace, and grace is that forgiveness without condition. And you might say, well, I find that tough to forgive somebody for what they've done to me. Well, what did they do to Jesus?
The ultimate.
And on that cross he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.
It's God who does the judging, isn't it? Not us.
We're not allowed to judge. We're to discern. And discern means, you know, hey, get on the right side of the track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got to carry on loving people.
And then we pray.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pray for that person.
Yeah.
And don't judge.
And so,
pray.
It is sometimes, if people try and, at times, reason and understand this so that they can just bang it out in rote, shall we say. I think there are so many variables that come up through our lives that it becomes a difficult challenge to do. But if we decide to say, well, look, I've been forgiven, therefore if you offend me, if I'm to live in the grace of God, I have no choice. And you might say, well, that's a condition. It's not a condition, it's an expectation of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Mm. Amen.
Right? Amen. Forgiveness is a fruit of the Spirit. Mm. And that came out of grace and the mercy of God. Mm. Right? Mm. And so if we are operating, if we're living in the realm of grace, then the fruit of the Spirit begins to operate out of us, which is forgiveness. If we're not, then the real question that should be asked is, are we really connected to the vine?
Exactly. Amen.
Because if you're living by grace, if you've been accepted and you've been forgiven and you're a child of God, then you're feeding on the word of God.
You are, yeah.
And your nature is being changed. So there's no question, is there? When a situation arises, you automatically forgive. Because your nature has been changed by the word of God, and you're like Christ. So it's no longer an issue.
And the commandments now are love your neighbour as yourself, and if you're not forgiving somebody, you can't be loving them, can you, really?
Mm-hmm. No. I think I mentioned that in my last preaching the room.
Yeah.
So, mate, how can you love your neighbour if you don't love yourself? If you love your neighbour as
yourself.
I hate myself, that means I hate my neighbour. I hate everybody else, don't it?
I don't know if you remember, I've said, you know, if we ever get our own church building, I want mirrors at the front. So you can look at yourself and learn to love yourself.
Yeah. And it's the same with husband and wife, isn't it?
Well, scripture says, you know, husband loves your wife as you love yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't love yourself, well, your wife's going to have a hell of a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm.
What do you see when you look in the spiritual mirror?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read recently.
Yeah, we should see Jesus.
That's what we've got to ask ourselves.
Well, this is what God's done for me. If anybody says to me, can you say in one sentence, what has God done for you? Well, that's it. It's turned into from somebody I hated, despised, somebody I really don't like.
Bill, I love that.
I'll tell you what.
And that is the work of grace.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the one thing that did it, that actually did most of it for me. You went in my bathroom when you come by, saw something stuck on the mirror. It's been there over a year, and it's still there now, and it says, don't give your opinion unless you're asked for it. Did you notice that? It's up on the mirror anyway, in the bathroom. Anyway, because I understand that giving your opinion on things is the one thing that causes more arguments than anything else in the world. It's taken me more than a year to master this, and I think I'm getting there, because you've got when you feel like that urge to chip in, what you have to set yourself is shut it. don't bother. And you find that you don't get into the conflict that you would have got into, that you were heading for.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I remember Joyce Meyer saying something like that.
Yeah,
if you don't have an opinion,
don't give it.
Something like that. It's very good how she termed it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jesus says, don't it, be quick to hear and slow to speak.
Yeah.
That's why we've got two ears and one mouth.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So this is the same stuff as me, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's what we do, don't we? Yeah.
And yet, you see, these are the simple things. I mean, we've said these for years. These are the simple things.
Yeah, they are.
These are the obvious, and we overlook the obvious.
Yeah.
It's like salvation. It is so obvious that the very elect overlook it, and the intellect overlook it.
Yeah.
You see, it's so obvious.
So if you're giving a statement, make sure it's a fact and not an opinion.
Mm.
And you'll keep out of trouble.
Well, there you go.
Stick to the Word of God.
Yeah, stick to the Word of God.
Stick to the Word of God. And like we've said for many years, the Word of God is a mystery. And sometimes it is not always immediately obvious how to explain it and to bring the life out of it. And sometimes we have to wait on God to reveal to us the very mystery of his grace and his mercy towards us. It's like the servants in one of the other parables I've talked about in the past with the talents.
Mm.
Every one of them were kingdom people.
Mm.
One had two and one had five, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're all kingdom people. They all took a different... Well, one of them took a different approach to the other two, and that one took the approach of, well, I'm going to bury this because I'm frightened what might happen, and he's rebuked for it, and he's cast into outer darkness, he's rejected, and the other two are, you know, God rejoices over them and says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. In other words, moving on. Don't bury what God's given to you. Don't be rebellious about what God's given to you. Use it for the kingdom's sake. And when you do that, you'll see God move. And so, you know, as I've looked at these scriptures in the past and I've heard it preached, I've had it preached, I was taught this, once saved, always saved.
Mm.
And there's a measure of that that's partially true, but then when I start to read scripture like that, those two references even that we've just mentioned tonight, I question that. Because all three servants were in the kingdom, and yet one is cast out.
But if you're saved, truly saved,
you shouldn't be operating like that. Yeah.
Of the kingdom.
Mm.
If you don't, then your salvation is in question, isn't it?
It is so easy for someone to put the hand up, to sign a form, and to say I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But I've said this for many years, and I'll say it as a reminder, and for anybody that's listening, if you want to see a Christian, you want to see a Christian, then the obvious answer is, from the Word of God, it says, by their fruit, you shall know them. Doesn't say by their works.
No. Doesn't say by a fish on the back of the car.
No.
It doesn't say by how big their church is, or how big the church that they're going to. It's not about that. And it's about what we're really trying to talk about over these last few weeks and months. It is about yours and my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Because you said in
God.
Matthew, didn't you? I never knew you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you've just got your ticket sort of thing and you go, I mean, you won't get to know you like that. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to
get your nature changed, are you? You're never going to be like Jesus.
No.
You're always going to have the old legal nature. And it will be warring against the spirit man continually.
Mm. Yeah. So we have to, the word has to work on us.
Mm.
Which is what it's doing. As you said, 12 months, and the word has been working on you. Because it started with the word of God, didn't it?
Yeah.
It had to do.
I had to work on that one every day.
Oh, yes.
I got to the end of the day and I thought, I went over the day that I've just lived and I said, I've given my opinion several times today. And then the next day I'd do it again and again and again until I could get to the point where I could say I haven't.
But I'll give you a verse of scripture that fits with it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm.
In other words, sit down and say, okay, what's happened today? Where have I blown it?
Has God been working in me?
Is it been God first or has it been me?
Yeah.
It's
habits are very hard.
Habits are very difficult to break.
Hard to change,
It's a great challenge to break a habit.
Yeah.
Simple one is if you move from a gear stick change to an automatic. That left leg keeps looking for a pedal and that left arm keeps looking for a gear lever. It's not, they're not there.
Left leg, it's brake, doesn't it?
Yeah, makes things...
Under a window.
So, but it's a habit that has been formed over a period of time. And so habits in our lifetime get formed. And they need to be unformed. They need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and begin to deal with those things and the Word of God to come in and begin to deal with those things. And it's through the grace and the mercy of God that those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I hope somehow we've managed to answer some of it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say we've got all of it because it is not just a boom,
It's not black and white, not an exact science, is it?
It's not the Word of God is not an exact science because it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still working my way through the mystery of this book. And
exciting though.
And you see, if we knew everything, then I'm not walking by faith.
Mm.
And the Word of God says walk by faith.
Mm.
By faith you were saved.
Mm.
Through faith I'm saved. And each day I walk in faith because it's a mystery. Tonight we've prayed for the sick. What did we do? We prayed in faith, believing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't pray in faith knowing.
No.
We prayed in faith believing. Some might say, well, we prayed in faith knowing because we know Tracy got healed. We know you got healed. We know that. But each time we pray in faith believing. Mm-hmm. Believing that God will work a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
But at the final end, it is God's plan and purpose to do as he will do. But the Lord says, you have not because you ask not. And so let's keep asking. Let's keep believing.
That's another thing that's difficult to get through to baby Christians, the difference between knowing and believing. You just can't knock it in that because they're still thinking that how the world thinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a case of they have to work everything out, figure everything out.
And this is where you have to... This is where you have to bring Romans 12 in.
Yeah.
The renewing of the mind.
Yeah,
just keep doing this.
Yeah.
And it'll work,
But this cleanses us, doesn't it?
That's right. The word
changes
is that cleansing. All
well,
the time.
Having said all this, I mean, it took me ages to get to where I am now anyway. So I've been at this 14 years since I first set foot in this building. So
I'm getting there, but in the first 6 months or a year, I was still in the world, you know.
Yeah.
For quite a while after that.
But you see, what did we do as a church?
Believed.
Mm. And loved.
Mm.
And operated in faith.
Mm.
It's that believing in faith, isn't it? Evidence of things not seen.
We didn't take a stick to you, did we? Do you remember it?
I can't remember.
You know, we didn't get strapped out and give you a leather beater or anything, did we? You know, we just loved you, believed, prayed for you. Because in the end, nobody here can work out my salvation. And I can't work out yours. It's a personal walk. It's a day-by-day personal walk, personal experience that only you and Jesus can have together.
Mm.
We can encourage you and say, wow, you know, this is what's been happening. And it can happen for you. But it can only happen when you have that personal walk. Meeting with him face to face. You know, you're back to Genesis, in the garden, meet with God. Ninth hour, the hour of prayer, or the hour of power, whichever you want, you know. But that's what it is. It's his fault, not mine. He asked the question, I'm answering.
But the hour of power's come out of the Crystal Cathedral now. They've gone into a smaller building. I think they're hard up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I took everything out. I don't know what I did with that magnificent organ they had. It was a beautiful thing, right? But
wow.
I don't know if they've still got it all.
Wasting the substance.
Yeah. What must it take to dismantle that? And it's a much smaller building. Yeah.
We went in that place.
No, you said you went in it, yeah.
But you see, again, it's all about putting God first.
Yeah.
And yeah, myself.
Oh, we're not
sorry.
Joe.
What's Job say?
Matthew 6.
Oh, Matthew
33
again. We can't get away from it, can we?
Let's go over that, because refresh our memories. I hope this chat goes viral on the internet tomorrow. I hope millions of people listen to this.
Actually, Brazil's on at the moment.
Brazil's on, are they?
Brazil is on. China's on every day.
Yeah, China's always on, yeah.
Every day.
Only if it's an automatic.
Yeah,
automated, only if it's an automated computer, that one in China, that just clicks on it automatically.
I don't know, but
it's on the internet when you're on the internet.